You know, we're going to continue talking about or challenging you in that whole concept of who do you trust. I hope that this series is causing you to take a serious look at your life and who do you really trust. The fact is, so often we become deceived and we place our trust in things that are not trustworthy. As we talk about trust, the real question we must answer for our lives is, who has control over our life? Whoever you give or whatever you give control is who you trust. David writes this declaration in Psalms 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember and trust in the name of the Lord our God. As you know, there are a lot of things that vie for our controlling interest in our lives, our jobs, our money, our resources. Maybe you have some kind of social status. Maybe it's your family or hobbies or whatever it is. It actually can be anything that you allow to control you. That is the litmus test on who you trust, on what you allow to control you. We talked about one of the top contenders last week, and that's self, which the Bible refers to as flesh. Far too many of God's creations have made self the thing that has controlling interest in their lives, and they've experienced a mess because of that. Today, another top contender for our trust is comfort. Do you trust comfort? Does comfort have controlling interest in your life? Now, comfort is, and you probably know this, is relief from affliction or discomfort, consolation, solace, or settled satisfaction. And we all like comfort. Who are we kidding? As we were growing up, we did a lot of camping at the beach, camping at the lake, camping at the mountains. In fact, hotel vacations were not anything we ever had. We saw hotel people as how the other half lived. Every vacation was camping. Now, as I grew up, camping really didn't hold my interest. Even though it was cheaper, now I love cheaper. It was too hot, too many bugs, too much work to set it up and tear down, everybody sleeping in the same room. I just didn't want to spend my vacation that way. Plus, you can't beat the comfort of any hotel compared to camping. You know, the fact is, I love comfort. Maybe you do too. And it's not bad in and of itself. But if I let comfort have controlling interest in my life, there's some danger that's on the horizon. When I look back at my life, if I have not been thrusted out of my comfort zone in so many ways, I would have missed out on so many things. See, I'm an introvert. I don't like to be out front. I don't particularly like public speaking. And I'm quick to shy away from uncomfortable situations. And sadly, as much as I hate to admit, I'm content not to be stretched and to accept the status quo as long as I can stay comfortable. But if I had not made myself come out of my shell and boldly approach Susan one day at church and ask her out, I'd have missed out on almost 40 years of being married to my best friend. We're coming up on 40 anyway. But if I had not pushed myself into uncomfortable settings in business, I would have missed out on all kinds of training, all kinds of experience, all kinds of blessings that came. If I had not been obedient to follow the Lord's plan for my life, I would have missed out on loving so many of God's people and seeing God do so many awesome things. If I had not been disciplined in learning the value of tithing at least 10% of my income, I would have missed out on the multitudes of provision and protection and promises from God. You see, God can get so much glory out of us being in situations that are outside our comfort zones. And I would say that's his favorite thing, to get us out of our comfort zone so we can't take credit for any of the successes. Far too many times we place conditions on how and when and where we will be obedient to the Lord. And I think about it, oh, how that must make him laugh. When the fact is, God's plan for us is perfect without us tweaking it or adjusting it in any way. There's so many stories in the Bible of God's people being put in uncomfortable situations and seeing God doing amazing things because of it. We're going to look at four today, four examples. Take Noah to start with. God's instruction and plan couldn't have been more uncomfortable for him, don't you think? God said this to Noah after he had gotten his attention in Genesis 6, 13 and 14. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and I'm surely going to destroy them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood and make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. He goes on to give him even more particulars. Building an ark for an upcoming flood had to be uncomfortable. There had never been any flooding. The waters just came up from the ground to nourish the earth. Rain would have been an unheard of event. But what you see in the story of Noah is that Noah obeyed God in the midst of uncomfortable circumstances. Can you imagine the ridicule that he faced as he was building that huge ship? What if he had not been willing to step into the uncomfortable? What if comfort had the controlling interest of his life? Here's what we see. God interrupted Noah's life with the uncomfortable to bring the advancement of the kingdom and also Noah to his life's calling. Take Abram and Sarah, later to become Sarah and Abraham. God's instruction and plan couldn't have been more uncomfortable for them. Here's what God said to them once he had gotten their attention. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. He didn't even tell him where he was going. I'm going to show you that land, but I want you to leave everything familiar and go ahead and do it. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, think about this for a moment. He's 75, she's 65. That promise seemed unbelievable to them, especially since they were childless. How could we have descendants being childless? And listen, the fact is that their procreating age had long passed. But Abram and Sarah obeyed God in the midst of uncomfortable circumstances. Abram lived up to the meaning of his name, exalted father, father of a multitude of nations. He saw that from the beginning because God spoke that. God's instructions to Abram and Sarah were so far out of their comfort zone. It was even 25 years before they actually had a descendant. God had uncomfortable plans for them both. What if they had not been willing to step into the uncomfortable? What if comfort had the controlling interest of their life? We see that God interrupted Abram's and Sarah's life with the uncomfortable to bring the advancement of the kingdom of God and bring them into their life's calling. Take Moses. God's instruction and plan couldn't have been more uncomfortable for him. Moses was running from his past mistakes, content with the mundane duty of herding sheep. He was a stutterer. He didn't have anything that looked like leadership qualities, but yet, God said this to Moses after he'd gotten his attention in Exodus 3:10. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses obeyed God in the midst of uncomfortable circumstances. What if he had not been willing to step into the uncomfortable? What if comfort had the controlling interest of Moses' life? And like the others, we see that God interrupted Moses' life with the uncomfortable for the advancement of the kingdom of God and also to bring Moses to his life's calling. The fourth example this morning is to look at Joshua. God's plan for Joshua couldn't have been more out of his wheelhouse. Who would feel qualified to follow Moses. Think about it. God said this to Joshua after he had gotten his attention. He said in Joshua 1:1-3, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. And I will give you every place that you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Joshua obeyed God in the midst of uncomfortable situations. What if he had not been willing to step into the uncomfortable? What if comfort had the controlling interest in his life? As with the others, we see that God interrupted Joshua's life with the uncomfortable to bring the kingdom of God forward, to advance the kingdom of God, and also for Joshua's life calling. So what are some things we can learn from that? Six things. You may can learn more than that, but six things I want to share with you. The number one is God wants to get your attention. In every one of these circumstances, he wanted to get their attention so he could speak something into their life. So God wants to get your attention. And maybe you're a lot like me and you like comfortable situations. God, I'll go if you do this. I'll go if we can stay in a hotel and not a pop-up camper. I'll go if I don't have to build a fire and cook on it. I'll go if I don't have to walk all the way to the clubhouse to get water or the bathhouse. I'll do all that if you don't make me do that. Are you willing to do the uncomfortable? See, God wants to get your attention however it is. And if you're facing something that's uncomfortable, that could cause you to pay attention, is God trying to get your attention? The second thing I want to point out to you is that God will use the uncomfortable, whatever it is, to accomplish his will in the world through us. That means that whatever might be uncomfortable to you, you might think, well, it's just he wants to make me do something I don't want to do. You can be sure that if God has gotten your attention and he tells you to do something, and even if it's uncomfortable, it's going to be for someone else's good, for the kingdom good. God will use the uncomfortable to accomplish his will in the world through us. Why? Because he wants to work through us. If I were God, I wouldn't want to work through me. And some of you. But I'm not God. God has made you, particularly in mind, to do something for him. And I say more than something, some things for God. So the third thing I want you to glean from this is that God uses the uncomfortable to build our faith, to build our trust, and build our obedience in him. If we are never in a place of uncomfortableness, you're probably not going to look for some area to be able to grow in. But because you may find yourself being sent to something that's uncomfortable, you need something other than what you have. And that's so important, because we need everything God has, and all he needs from us is our willingness. So God uses the uncomfortable to build our faith. If you've ever been in an uncomfortable situation and you've felt the Lord spoke to you in that situation, that builds your faith. And if your faith is built, that builds your trust in him. And when that trust is built, then you're going to be more obedient. There's all kinds of things can happen in the uncomfortable. The fourth thing I want us to point out is God gets glory when we have to rely on him. Think about an uncomfortable situation you've been in. How did you make it? How'd you get through it? Maybe it was God. I would tend to say it probably was God. And if it was God, guess what? He carried you through. And do you think he's just a one-shot wonder? He's not. He is not. He will continue. You can rely on God. It may not be the exact same parameters every time, but because you saw him, your trust is built, your faith is built, your obedience is built, and you can rely on him. Guess what? You start relying on him. And when you know he can be counted on, you walk in a great confidence. The fifth thing I want to point out is God's plan in using us, now hear this real clear, is not about us. And I got in my notes, just get over it. This is not about us. It is about the kingdom of God going forward. And he probably gets more use out of us in uncomfortable situations if we yield to him than any other time, because we've got nothing to offer him except our obedience. God's plan in using us, it can benefit us, but the primary reason is so that his kingdom will advance. That means that whatever he tasks us with, however mundane it may seem, however uncomfortable it may seem, is for kingdom good. Now, number six. If comfort has a controlling interest in our lives, listen to this. You will never accomplish what God wants to do in his kingdom through you, through us, and we will not realize our God-given purpose in life. Think about that. That's a mouthful. If comfort has controlling interest in our lives, we will never accomplish what God wants us to do in his kingdom through us, and we will never realize our God-given purpose in life. Moses, we know Moses as a deliverer. He couldn't see that in him. We know Noah as a shipbuilder. He couldn't see that still. He just obeyed God. And that's so exciting for someone that doesn't have a whole lot of talent, right? That if God tells us to do something, he is going to equip us and cause us to build that thing, whatever it is, for his glory and for his kingdom. And it's not about us being comfortable. And Lord, I have asked God all the time, would you please make me comfortable in all these settings? And he has not he's not done that much. He says, no, I would rather you stay uncomfortable and devoted to me and reliant on me and tuned to my voice than for you to be comfortable and forget all about me. See, God wants to take us in the uncomfortable and build his kingdom. And if he can do that through you, and you realize that, wait a minute, I might not ever feel comfortable. Well, so what? Who do you trust? What has controlling interest in your life? Now, I shudder to say this because I still ask God for all this comfort in doing things. I want to feel confident. I want to feel bold. I want to feel able to do these things. And it's 9 times out of 10, he's speaking, and he says, go and do this. And then he begins to fill in the blank. You don't even know what it all entails. But the more you say yes to Jesus, the more you will say yes to Jesus. The more you get used to saying yes to Jesus. In fact, it will be contrary to your spirit being for you to be obstinate toward the things of God. If comfort has a controlling interest in our lives, we will never accomplish what God wants to do in his kingdom through us, and we will never realize our God-given purpose in life. Maybe, just maybe today, you find yourself in an uncomfortable circumstance. My best advice is stop fighting it. Stop trying to make it comfortable. Stop trying to abort the process. But lean into God, and his purposes will manifest. Does that mean I immediately will know exactly what the kingdom good? No, you might not. You might get a hint of it. If you're listening to God, if God has got your attention, I believe you'll get a snippet of what it's doing. But I don't know that we will ever fully realize what our obedience to God accomplished in the heavenlies until we're all there with Jesus. And there'll be people that'll come up to you and say, you know, if you hadn't done this, I would have never seen Jesus. If you hadn't have spoken this, if you hadn't have come into this crazy setting and said just these three words. See, those are the things that we get to hear later on, well done and good faithful servant. But what we have now is a whole pile of uncomfortable circumstances that we want God to take our pop-up camper and make it like a Hilton Garden Inn. Right? We want him to take this mess that we find ourselves in and make it tolerable. But we want more than tolerable. We want central air. We want food brought to. We like room service. All those good things. We like being able to set our laundry out in the hall and it goes to the cleaner and it just comes back. That's what we like. But we have never been promised that. We've never been promised that. In fact, if you get all of that, you'll never need God. I am thankful for the need that I have in my life for God. Because when I need Him, He's there. He's there whether I realize it or not. But there is something about drawing on the Father, drawing from the Father. So I don't know what uncomfortable circumstance you may find yourself in, but stop trying to make it comfortable. Start seeing through the eternal eyes of Jesus. Start seeing the victory before you even start the battle. Start seeing that God is going to take this, no matter how uncomfortable it is, and He's going to turn this around for His good. And even if it never gets comfortable, I'm okay because I'm not alone. I'm okay because greater in me is He. Think about that. We carry God with us. And wherever we go, His power is available. His understanding is available. His presence is available. His healing touch is available. Listen, when comfort has a controlling interest in our lives, seldom do we accomplish what God intends for us to accomplish. The Bible tells us this in Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. This is God talking. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth will not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They will complete the assignment I gave them. When God tells us, He gets our attention and tells us to do something, we can walk in great confidence that these words that God has spoken to us are going to complete the assignment that's been given to us. See, we don't have to be concerned about the end results. And we are result-oriented people. We want to see, we do this so that this will happen. We do this so that this will happen. Well, that's not the ways of God. He says, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. When we step into obedience, God, no matter if it's uncomfortable or unbearable, we are not there alone. And we can trust that what He's spoken to us will bring about kingdom growth, whether we think we failed at it or not. See, we put a lot of value in the natural outcomes of things when God is not even thinking about that. Sometimes the natural does matter, but there's always something more going on. There's a spiritual component. There's a spiritual project within every natural thing that God ever tells you to do. And the thing about with Noah and Moses and Abram and Sarah and Joshua is God spoke something eternal to them. I want you to do this. And it's inferred, I know you're not qualified to do this. But because my word is power, when I speak that to you, you are able to accomplish. Think about that. The God of the universe speaks to us. And even in uncomfortable situations, we can flourish. We can find ourselves in a place of flourishing. And it doesn't mean that anything changes in the natural. But it does mean that you are tapped in to the Spirit that sent you. The Holy Spirit. Susan and I have been in uncomfortable situations together before, and we've just appealed to our God to get us out of that thing. And we've seen Him move. And then sometimes it wasn't moved as fast as we wanted. And sometimes He didn't move the way we wanted. But guess what? When you ask God to intervene and you're doing something that He told you to do, it doesn't really matter what you think ought to be done. It is so important to realize that everything that God tells us to do is not about us. We want to think, well, he's invested in me so I can be this great person of God. No, that's the farthest thing from His mind. He is trying to get you to work to build His kingdom. He's trying to get me to do what He asked us to do so that His kingdom resulted in growth. It has nothing to do with the stuff that we call success. I wonder how many today are in uncomfortable situations and you've asked yourself, God, why? Why? And I can just hear the Lord tell me, you don't need to know why. All you need to do is trust that I'm with you. And if God is with us, guess what? It doesn't matter who's against us. It doesn't matter how uncomfortable anything is. If God is for us, and when we're obedient to God, guess what? He's for you. He's right there. And He's giving you what He has so that you can build His kingdom. He doesn't want the excuse, well, it's too hot in here. My blow-up mattress doesn't work good. I can feel every rock and stick under me. I want to go to the Hilton. He says, no, I want you to stay right where you are. And I want you to listen to me because I've got something to say. And when He speaks, it matters. When He speaks, it really does matter. You say, well, I've never heard God. Listen here, this is His book here. I don't know if you've seen it before, but this is His book. It's a bestseller. He doesn't mind if you write in it. He doesn't mind if you fold corners down. I've got sticky notes everywhere and highlighter everywhere. But this is how God speaks. He can speak audibly to you. Yes, He can. I have heard Him so loud in my spirit that I knew it was Him. And there wasn't a doubt in my mind. But we are a doubting people, aren't we? It is kind of interesting. My last name is Thomas, isn't it? Doubting Thomas. But I like to see, and that's why His word is so valuable. He's written down, we've got His word. And if we don't know what to do, it's in the book. And we can refer ourselves back to it over and over and over again. How many times have you had to go back to the owner's manual and reread something? Now, I skip over lots of things in the owner's manual. And then go back and really reread when I've got a lot of parts left over and I think I'm finished. So I go back to it. And maybe you're like that in life. You fly around. And you got more parts than you got project. And you failed to go to the owner's manual to find out exactly how you're supposed to do this. He laid it out so clear for Noah. I want you to use this kind of wood. I want you to do this, or this, or this. God is very, very specific. And He'll tell you what He wants to do. And the moment you think, he trusts me with this big thing and I'm going to get me a merit badge, you're going to lose that merit badge because He's doing that for them. He's doing that. He's given you instruction so that you will obey Him, so that his purposes will be carried out in this world. And by the way, he's going to show you why you're here. By the way, you may become the deliverer that he's called you all along. By the way, he may call you the builder. By the way, he may be calling you the guy that followed Moses. Whatever it is, you're going to find your calling in life. Doesn't mean that that's all you'll ever do. No, it doesn't. Because I'm telling you, God constantly wants to talk to you. He wants to get your attention. And he wants to talk to you. And he wants to tell you to do stuff. He wants to give you the project list. I met a couple the other day. Well, actually, I knew him a long time, but I hadn't seen him in a long time. And she's fixing to retire, and he's not. He's a little bit younger than her. And she said, he's already given me a honey-do list. And that I thought they worked the other way. I thought the wife had to do it. But anyway, he already filled it out. And she goes, well, I've already got my marker, and I've already X'd off a lot of stuff that he put on the list. God has a list. And too many times we X off the stuff that are uncomfortable. I want to do this because I can go to the Hilton and sleep better and have a breakfast bar. That's how I want to do it, God. And he says, I don't want you to do it that way. I want you to go to the campground, and I want you to pitch a tent, and I want you to lay on the ground. And if it's too cold, we learned this from experience, if it's cold, put the blankets under you. We froze a whole night early in our marriage because we put all the blankets on top of us and laid on the cold ground. We knew that this was not our calling in life. We were Hilton people. But you know, God has given us instructions on what to do. And he wants you to do it. And it's multifold. But the first thing, you got to understand, it's for kingdom good. Whatever he asks me to do is for kingdom good. If I get satisfied in the midst of that, that's extra. That's the cherry on the top. If it's comfortable for me to do, that's the cherry on the top. But God gets more glory if you are uncomfortable and obedient. And I know that might be a little bit of a downer because you may consider yourself Hilton people too. But he's calling us to the campground. He's calling us to do whatever he asks us to do, wherever he asks us to do it. He's calling us to be an obedient people. And just as like you get tired of your children saying, well, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do this? God tolerates that, but I'm not sure it's the best song he hears from us. The whining of, please give that to somebody else. Please don't ask me to do that. Please send me to the Hilton. Don't make me go back to the campground. Listen, we're going to be in uncomfortable circumstances a whole lot if we're interested in kingdom growth. It's just the way it is. Does it mean you can't have things that are comfortable in your life? No, you can't. God's not against any of that. He is against them having controlling interest in your life. So we have to push back against self, and we have to push back against comfort. We are not going to be run by those two things. Next week, we're going to talk about our money and our resources. That's another area that the enemy is vying for to be controlling in our life. And just as we can trust God in all kinds of things, we can trust him in that area too. Does it mean you're going to be wealthy? Well, it could be. But more than anything else, you're going to be in the center of his will. And you're going to be able to say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go to the campground, or I'll go to the Hilton. I'll sleep in a tent, or I'll get a Winnebago. Whatever, God, you ask me to do, I'm going to do. And those are hard questions to ask and mean. Far too many of us ask those really not meaning it. But God is after a surrendered people that will be willing to be uncomfortable for kingdom's sake. Be willing to take the bullet for someone else. Be willing to be uncomfortable so that someone else will hear about Jesus. Someone else will hear about Jesus. See, that's what should drive us. That should be the driving force in our obedience so that all would hear. Because you must understand this, God wants none to perish but all to come to repentance. Even that one that you don't want to see in heaven, God wants them there. The one that has made your life here on this earth miserable, God wants them in heaven. The one that has cheated and robbed you, God wants that one in heaven. The ones that have done everything in their power to ruin your life, God wants that one in heaven. He doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Now, I was reminded of an analogy this week, and this might gross some of you out. We were driving in traffic, and there's an extra long amount of cars at this traffic light. We couldn't figure out why it was so long, and the closer we got to the intersection, we realized something had happened. A truck had tipped over, and it looked like it was covered with wood chips, the whole intersection. I'm telling you, covered. The closer I got there, this is where it gets yucky, I realized it was chicken parts all over the intersection. And I'm telling you what, I almost threw up in the car. There was a whole chicken that hadn't made it in the cutter out there too. But I had to drive through it. Now my car was clean, I had to drive through it. And I had to stop not far from there after I got out of that mess, and Susan looked at the car and it was just horrible under it. And I went straight to the car wash. And I began to think, do I look at sin that quickly? Do I go through life and I find myself maybe around some stuff that's attached itself to me? Do I have the same fervor to get clean with that I did with my car and getting them chicken parts off? I'm telling you what, it was something. I've got a picture of it. I'll be glad to send it to you if you want to know it. Then you can throw up in your car. But I'm telling you what, it is horrible. But the residue from just traveling the same route as the chicken parts attached to my car. And sin's just like that. We can wade through some mess. You can be somewhere where you shouldn't be, and then you find you got this residue all over yourself. And I wonder, do you run to the Father as quickly as I went to the car wash? I wonder if I do. Do I tolerate sin in my life? Or do I run to the car wash, the spiritual car wash? We got to look at sin that way. Sin is not good. And the world would tell you that sin is okay. But just driving through a pile of sin can attach itself to you. So it's important to get the wash. Get the one that shoots water up from the floor too. Get the undercarriage. Because Jesus wants to wash all that sin away. And he wants us to be free of that as he begins to tell us what to do. And he has a job for you. And it's a kingdom building job. And you may not think it's as important as someone else's. That doesn't matter. If the Father has asked you to do that, it is A1 important. And it's important to him. And it's important for us to trust him and have faith and be obedient. And it's important for us not to get hooked, just consumed with it, but it's not comfortable anymore. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think it was comfortable? They had to at least feel the heat. It didn't burn them. They didn't smell like it. But they were in the midst. They were obedient. And God did a major deal, turned a nation back, a king, because of their obedience. What has God asked you to do? What has God required of you? And maybe you don't know. Well, the more time you spend in his book, the more time you'll know. How do you hear God? You hear him through his word. He speaks to your spirit. You know, when you're praying and you're quiet, you'll have these impressions. And they line up with what's in the book. You know, that's God. If there's some impression you got that doesn't line up to what he says in the book, just put it over on the side. because we all have imaginations. We all have that. But that's how you know it's God. If you have that impression in your spirit and it lines up with what he says in the book, and you know what the screw goes to, and you know what this bolt goes to, and you know all that based on the owner's manual, then you're confident. You can be confident. Even in uncomfortable situations, you can be confident. God wants a confident people. He doesn't want comfort to have controlling interest in our life. He doesn't want self to have controlling interest in our life. Whatever has controlling interest in your life, that's who you trust. God wants us to trust him above all. God is interested in a total sellout. He doesn't want part of you. He doesn't want the easy part of you. He wants all of you. And he'll take whatever that is, and he'll give you kingdom assignments, and you will be sent by King Jesus, and you don't have to worry about the results. Everywhere else, you got to worry about results. You don't have to worry about results with God. We are going to be faithful and obedient, trust the results to him so that he can get glory and so others can see Jesus. And if they can see Jesus in us, that's a win. So maybe you're here today and maybe you just finished driving through a intersection of chicken guts and that sin has just kind of gripped your life. And you've just let it stay on there. You haven't cleaned it off. You hadn't done anything about it. Well, God's here right now to convict you of those sins and to show you a better way to live. He wants you clean. He wants to forgive those sins. He wants to wash you clean. He wants to take charge of everything in your life. But it's going to take you accepting him first and living for him. Let's pray.